Today is the 11th day of November 2013, and the continuation of our series, Sri Aurobindo Ashram, The Early Years. We're very happy today to have Kalu Sakkar with us, a long-time ashramite. Kalu, when did you first come?
October 1943.
You came with your parents?
I came with my parents.
Mm-hmm. And they were devoted to Mother and Sri Aurobindo or not?
Absolutely. My mother, of course, had not just psychical and spiritual experiences, but because of her body, which was weak in constitution, she passed away very young. And before she passed away, she had said that to my father, that you must go to Pondicherry because the real mother is there. And my father, he was shocked in the beginning, but then he really wanted to come. So my father was always in contact with Sri Aurobindo inwardly, because he was again a revolutionist.
Freedom fighter
with Sri Aurobindo. He was jailed for, I suppose, 12 years in the Andamans at the age of 16. And Sri Aurobindo told him that they won't hang you, but you will be saved. And think of me and you will be quite happy. Of course, they all wanted to die for the country, so there was no problem for being depressed or having any other
concerns. Yeah, I understand.
So this was the contact which was always there, and so we came here.
When did he first meet Sri Aurobindo?
He met.
When did your father first meet Sri Aurobindo?
You see, he was, I think, 13 years old when he thought that it was... He just went away from the house, which I believe that he didn't want to stay or learn English from the British. He said he would like to go to Sri Aurobindo, serve him and learn English from him. Because the British were here, and as Sri Aurobindo says, there must have been a divine plan that 50 British soldiers could conquer the whole of India. And we know now that we can speak in English to everyone, and especially in India, because we have 24 languages and 1,500 dialects. So I thought that he naturally chose this place. He was the first to start the handmade paper here.
Your father?
Yes.
I see.
And not only that, he was the first Indian to make the Indian type of lavatory, because before that it was the scavengers who would come and take the dirt. And here what he did was, he was asked by Sri Aurobindo to come to Pondicherry and do the lavatory.
Now, he was 16 when he was incarcerated in the Andamans.
Yes.
When did he get out to come to Pondicherry?
When he was, he got married, because he was almost forced to marry, because they wanted to get him married. But it was Sri Aurobindo who chose the photograph of my mother. So he got married, and
See, now he was imprisoned, you said, for 16...
For 12 years.
For 12 years. So he was 28 when he got out.
Yes. Okay. Then he got married, and
he brought your mother
1942,
here?
My mother, I think, died at the age of 40. 1941. She was very young.
In 1941.
And What happened was that when she died, he was asked by my mother to go to Pondicherry. So we all came here as little boys and girls.
Well, you were five.
I was five. My sister was about 11.
Uh-huh.
And there were a few others in the ashram who were the first inmates. And the playground was the ashram. We used to, you know, where the samadhi is there, we used to run about there, play hide and seek, shout and do all sorts of things, you know, like the children do. But we were never scolded by the mother or... It was a wonderful time because we used to go to the mother very often throughout the day. See her almost 12 to 14 times a day. And then, of course, we grew up around her. It was a fantastic time, no doubt. But as we grew a little older, we doubted, at least I doubted, that whether really she is the Supreme or whether she is God. And that, I asked my friend Barim, that what do you think? He says, you pinch her and then you'll know that whether she really is God or not. Because if you pinch her, if she shouts, then of course she's a human being. If she doesn't say anything, we doubt that she may be someone who is very special. So this is how we grew up in the ashram. And later...
Before you go later, let me ask you this. What is your first memory of Sri Aurobindo? You must have gone to darshan.
Yes, and this was on the darshan time when we could only go there. And there were quite a few people who saw that the line was correctly done, nobody went twice. But we were young and we were very curious to see Sri Aurobindo because we could only see him passing by, do a little namaste and go. But then that was not enough. So we used to hit the person who was guarding there, you know, with the lion and so on. We would tell him, somebody else would talk to him and we would sneak in and see twice or thrice. So I found myself, the experience I got was that he was mighty, just mighty. You couldn't think of anything else but see his eyes. One eye looked at you and the other was beyond. That surprised me a lot. That beyond, what is he seeing? So let me go again and come and see. He never winked, he never moved. We saw him just sitting from there, you know, from 5 o'clock in the morning till the evening. They, mother and Sri Aurobindo, never moved from the sofa. That was just unbelievable.
And they didn't take water or food?
Nothing. That's what I thought. Because every time we came, we saw in the same position. And I found that naturally the doubt was always there, the eternal doubt in man, as Sri Aurobindo says. And we grew up, I was never a good student.
How many times did you have Sri Aurobindo's darshan?
From 1943 November to 1950, 4 times a year. But I could tell you that we some of us, very few, one or two friends, would also do like me, you know, go and see 3 times or 4 times. So you can imagine how many times we have seen him.
So then your schooling, tell us a bit about your schooling.
The school, of course, was, mother wanted us to be, not quarrel, not tell lies. But we were restless, most of us. We did all types of mischief, going to the gardens. There was the Kazanov and other gardens, and pluck guavas and do all sorts of things. And the mother would tell us that don't spoil the fruits. If you want to eat, you eat as much as you want. So it happened, there was a little story that I could tell, is that we had Ravindraji, a big 6-footer, very strong. And we were really frightened of him. And there were the mangoes, which were mango season, in the dining room. They used to really, it was tempting. So some of us would go on the terrace, climb the tree and get the mango and eat it with chili powder, salt, and we enjoyed that very much. And usually during the class time, we would do it. So Ravindraji saw us, and it was very interesting that we ran down and he couldn't catch us. Because once he catches, he could twist your ear so hard that it could bleed. So hard he would do. So we were frightened of him. So we came near the mother in the vegetable darshan, which was usually at 11:30, 11:45, when all the vegetables would come from all the gardens, and she would see the vegetables. And there we were very close to the mother, almost clinging to her every day, but we cling to her a little more when we saw Ravindraji coming. And he shouted out, he said, "Mother, mother, these are the children, there." It was he who plucked the mangoes and ate my mangoes. So the mother was small, but when she wanted, she would straighten up and she said, "Ravindra, they are my mangoes or your mangoes?" You see, such things every day we were doing, and this is how we enjoyed ourselves more than the school. The school for me was terrible because I was very bad in mathematics, and we used to tease the teacher, make them cry and so on. But anyway, things went year after year, you grew up. I would like you to ask a few more questions.
Well, I would like to know about your work in physical therapy and how it all began.
It all began because there must be something that we have inherited, because my father was a homeopathic doctor. My grandfather was an allopathic doctor, also doing Ayurvedic, and worked with Sri Aurobindo's father in Calcutta. So we have a generation of doctors that come down, and I had a simple way of living. If I saw somebody suffering, or a headache, I would like to try to give him some relief. So there was Madeleine, an American lady, who used to do a lot of Swedish massage, and in the 40s, after the school had started in 43, 44, she and another person is Hridoy, the younger brother to Pranav, started the physiotherapy. And mother wanted, because we used to do a lot of sports, so she opened up a little garage, which is now in Sunilda's house. We did the floor, we painted it, we did everything. And Hridoy would take hot bath on the foot, because we would do a lot of sports in the tennis ground. those days. And what happened was, Hridaya, he left the ashram because he wanted to earn and go back to Bombay. But that too, mother arranged for him. Mother was very particular for anyone who left the ashram also, because her protection, we saw, was to everyone, the protection, which we didn't understand those days. And what happened was, I took up the work, and my younger brother came later because he finished Bhai, and we worked together for up to 1963, from 58 to 63. And then Babu came and joined, and we continued with the improving, having machines, asking mother, I want this machine, I want that. But when I used to write to the mother that I want 30 towels for the clinic, because she was very particular, she would give me 40 towels, because she would say one towel for one person, otherwise, you know, hygiene. Anyway, she guided us quite a bit. Then in 1960, as I remember, before she retired, I asked her to come to the clinic to see a machine that I had imported from the ashram had imported. Udar helped us for that, and came from Germany.
Was it located where you are now?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Since long.
Since? I see.
I've been working last 56, 57 years there. So that machine, the mother came and mother told me, you know, the machines are very good, but you have to work with the doctors. Anyway, I had a passion for working. I had a passion for, also had an ego which was 1 foot in front, which, you know, I would think that the mother is 50 years behind all these machines. But she used to tell me it's very dangerous because if you don't, and the law is not in our hands, you have to work with a doctor. So this was how I grew. And we added quite a few machines, we did everything. But the mother had just told me that she has a pain in the wrist. So I gave her a massage and she said, you know, the hands speak better than machines. If you work with your hand, there is the love that goes within, there is the power that goes through the mind. And she explained me. But those days I didn't understand, and it is true now that I can't leave a patient without giving a little massage. So there I grew. Then you want me to tell something else?
Oh, please. Yes, this is very interesting.
Of course, this ambition, and I met Anjana. And we told ourselves, we went to the mother, and then we told that we want to get married. So the mother told Dhyuman to make two rings. She put the ring in our hand and said, this is an unofficial marriage, but you will go to Singapore and get married there. Because my father-in-law used to live in Singapore. So we went, we came back. I wanted to go and work outside in Delhi. It was really an adventure, because when I went, I felt that I should have not come. I felt a pull from the mother that, and I sent her some money through Mona, my first money that came out from the patients.
Yes.
And then she said, ask Kalu to come here and stay and get married. So that is how we stayed on And so here we stayed together. We have a son who is in the film line, and if you like to interview him, I think he'll be very pleased. He's going to come at the end of the month. But this doubt, I would like to tell a story about that, because the mother, I used to go and ask her a machine, I used to go and ask her all sorts of things for the clinic. But I sat there on my knees in front of her on a birthday, and then I was about to tell something when the mother closed her eyes, kept quiet, and then, you know, once she looks at you and she closes her eyes, your mind becomes blank. You cannot think and talk to her, because I think she was planning something. And behind was Champaklalji with quite a few books of Sri Aurobindo and the mother. And I was sweating, because the books for me was not all right, because I decided to tell the mother that I don't read your books, because from the beginning to end I cannot read, mother. This is what I told her. But she kept quiet, and I was really sweating inside and uneasy, because that's one thing that was very, very difficult for me to read, Sri Aurobindo's books. So what I did, I took the books, I held it in my hand. Then I bent down and I touched her feet. I got up and she said, "You open and you will get your answers." Already I had a doubt, and over that the double doubt came. I took the books, I kept it in the almirah very carefully, signed by the mother, but I would not open for months, but felt very uneasy when I looked at it. Then one day I thought, I will just open and see what it is, because it must be very interesting to open now. When I felt like, I opened, and Sri Aurobindo on the mother, she said about doubt. And that is the page I opened. It was so terrific that I felt something, that there must be some truth in this. I cannot doubt. So I started reading. So Sri Aurobindo says, I can write 6 lines, I can write 6 pages, 60 pages, even 600 pages, but 6,000 pages will never even remove your doubt. So I thought, this is something. Then I started opening every morning a little bit and found that I could understand a little bit of something. No question of meditating. I couldn't meditate. I used to run away from the meditation in the playground or not go. And then I took the book and I opened, and I saw, she writes, "It is better to have an ingathered attitude than fixed hours of meditation." So I thought, I must do something to improve my way of living. So what I did was, my nature was to be straightforward, upright, honest, I wouldn't say, but I would try. So the school prayer is very interesting, that the mother says the children ought to be straightforward, upright, honest, frank, honorable children. That is the prayer. So I tried to be that. And we had little notebooks where we would write how many lies we said throughout the day, or what we did, quarrel with somebody and so on. And the mother would say that it is all right telling one or two lies, that you can always control, but 20 lies a day is not good. So this is one of the little examples I can give you. In any case, then I opened the book, and then again I saw that there was something very interesting that was about the mother. Sri Aurobindo says, the one whom we adore as our mother is the divine conscious force that dominates all existences. I said, my God, if I go out somewhere, if I call her, she should come. These were the little things that made me understand more and more. And I used to write diary after diary. I used to fill up writing anything that came. Then that was the research which I thought was wonderful, because you have a proper psychology there. You have a perfect psychology.
Did you show these books to mother?
No, I couldn't, because I was just writing, and then I never cared for those to tell her, to explain. But I used to show to Nolanida. And Nolanida, you tell me that you are in the right line, you go on and on. Then I would, that gave me a lot of, because Nolini was a great friend of my father. And Nolanida was so wonderful that when the mother would go, and we were sitting in the cinema, you know, in the playground, when the mother would go, we all would keep quiet. Anybody else would go, we would not care. We would talk, we would shout, we would do all sorts of things. But when Nolanida went beside us, suddenly we got quiet. So some power he had, there was no doubt about it. So I used to go to Nolanida, and ask him that if I am on the right path, if everything is all right. So he used to tell me, and later on with his sports injuries, I would go to his room and treat him. So that is the time I would talk a lot about Sri Aurobindo and the mother. Then what happened was that after writing these, I have tried to write two or three little books, small books. That has helped me very much. It has helped me so much that I thought getting married, having child, and then I would not like to take any advantage of the ashram. Unnecessary advantage. So I decided, I'll tell the mother that I would like to go out for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and she would allow me. So for 3 weeks I prepared a little seminar which I could give in Switzerland for the first time, because somebody had come here and seen what I did, and they were very interested, the acupressure. And so I gave the seminar, I made a little money, I came back. Naturally, when you come, you like to offer something to the mother. And I collected for a few years and made a little house of myself so that I don't take advantage. Serve the ashram as much as I can, because yoga is a very difficult line, you know. Once you step in, and if the mother has accepted you, you cannot do anything else. She just is a magnet. So there is no way out. There is no depression. You look at her and all your depression goes away. So I grew, and I thought that I was very, very lucky to be in this beautiful, wonderful atmosphere. And whenever I used to go out of India, if I crossed over 3 weeks, because I used to tell her, or even sometimes 4 weeks, she would tell me within that, I think it is enough, it is better you come back. And these things I have experienced. So I used to come back, and because she would say that is are your assistant doing all right, because they have to follow certain discipline, certain rules. Anyway, it used to worry me a little bit. I used to always come back and I grew up like this.
Can you tell us who else you were close to in the ashram? What older ashramites, in addition to Nalini, who were you close to?
I liked my father very much because he was very dynamic, tremendous. He's a man without a fear. So much so that at night he would wake up at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock at night, and I would see that there were two or three rats beside him, a cat beside, and he used to give them milk, the extra milk that was in the after our food in the dinner, he would take that and give them. But one day I think he was not feeling very well and he just got up to give, but he had kept the milk in a small container where the rat had come and wanted to take the milk. So he couldn't put his mouth inside because it was smaller than. And what he did was that little rat took its tail, put the milk and was sucking. So my father called me quickly and said, look, what can happen? But if you come near, he will go away. He would say that. So he would feed the crows in the morning, squirrels, and that was something. That was really something, because that is why I liked him very much. Because he was so straightforward, upright, honest. Honest means you cannot imagine. He used to look after the pottery department. So he would give a list of pots that were sold. He would take that money and go to the ashram and give it as an offering to Amritoda. Then at the end, he would write the mother there, snuff. He used to put a little snuff. Foreigner's snuff I've taken from them. The mother, she said, put there 1 rupee. And he stopped taking snuff. Mother's ways were fantastic. So I have hundreds of stories, but I don't think I will talk more because I'm not in the habit of talking more than...
Well, just share a few more minutes with us.
Pardon?
Share a few more minutes with us about...
All right.
About some... Well, as you became older, your contact with mother.
Inner contact. I would not go and, criticize or fight for something. I wouldn't do that. But if I did so, I might have done once or twice, because I thought I did a very right thing when a visitor came at night at about after 6:30. He was a doctor and he entered the ashram, and there was a gatekeeper there in the reception who told him that it is 6:30 now, you cannot enter. But I told the reception department, I will take him, let him go to the samadhi, because he was a doctor and I knew him. So I said, doctor, you don't worry, I have to take responsibility. But the receptionist there, he was quite rough with me. He caught my collar and he said, no, you cannot go, it is a rule and so on. But catching my collar is not the solution, because I told him, if you don't take your hand out, I can blow you and you will fly off. I told him. Anyway, I waited. He went in. He thanked me and the doctor went away. I came out, I was just standing. When the meditation was over, Pranabda came and told me, because he went and straight to Pranabda and said that Kalu has interfered in the gate department. So I said, Pranabda came rushing. I thought he might give me a blow before he talks. So I was also a bit ready for receiving, or probably I don't know what I would do. So he said, Kalu, you have no right to poke your nose in the gate department. I got a beautiful answer, because I became suddenly calm. And I told him, is the gate department physical education department? If I did something in the physical education department, it was all right. But then he walked away. And then he said, he came back and he said, I'll tell the mother. I said, of course, I will also come. Then, see, such things have happened. But in a good way, because afterwards he embraced me. He said, we have had many small shoulder pushing, but I find that you are very straightforward and frank and courageous. Because he used to think that if with one shout he could, you know, frighten us. But I was not frightened at all, because I knew that the mother was there and mother would protect us. Anyway, these are little stories that I can tell you of one incident. But otherwise, I am of a quiet nature. I feel that talking, gossiping will not help. The ashram is such a place that if you are quiet, the more I grow older, more I think that I have done past lot of mistakes, which I can now correct it and become more conscious and feel her presence within me. So this unique ashram of Sri Aurobindo, and one letter I read of Sri Aurobindo, of the mother, not Sri Aurobindo, there is nobody in this earth, space or time that can destroy the ashram of the Lord Sri Aurobindo. That was a beautiful message. So I find, not to get into politics, not to get, I've always thought that some people have done this and that, but I wouldn't like to go and poke myself there and criticize and so on. I would withdraw and think more of the mother and Sri Aurobindo. Then you really come out of all the criticism. And the feeling that you get when you don't is fantastic. That is what has kept me here. And it's really something. I'm not looking much in the camera because I have not got the habit of... I've been interviewed many times for a... because I give seminars and all that in Europe, and they told me, don't look at the camera. So I become more natural if I...
When you were in your...
I don't know if my English is...
When you were
all
in
right.
your late 20s...
When I was what?
In your mid-20s, let's say, we're the same age. So tell us a little bit around 1967, 1968, how you remember mother then?
Oh, that was the time when, it is very interesting, one thing I can tell you is that André Morisset had a stroke in France, and there was no physiotherapy school in France those days. They had not done a proper cast on the right foot, which was paralyzed. So he had come on a wheelchair. He used to walk limp very much. His ankle was, there was no, it was dangling almost. But he, and the mother explained me how to give a massage, which was very good. Very interesting. She told me, you massage and you must go to the Golkon, get him, because the last few steps there is nothing to hold. You hold him, bring him down, let him come to the clinic, you treat him, and then bring him back to the Golkon. So she used to ask me, how is his improvement and so on, whenever I went. And once when I went, she said, but he's still with the stick, can you remove his stick? So with all that ego and thinking that I could tell mother easily a lie that, yes, mother, I think if he continues, he will be able to walk. But my answers were just the right thing. I said, mother, I don't know what to do. You tell me what to do. And there, my ego vanished completely. Again, I put my head on her feet and I just couldn't get up. She put her hand on my head. I had tears in my eyes. I looked at her. She said, I'll work through your hands. That was something. So I feel I have told you a secret which I never tell others, but that gave me a lot of confidence. And he left the stick for some time, walked with a little limp, but still. Then he became older and naturally he used to come for 6 months and go back for 6 months. And a gentleman, to treat somebody like him, Nolinija, Amritada.
You treated them all?
Yes, and they're perfect yogis, you know. And when I used to see them, and the mother slowly went back and wouldn't come to the playground after the 60s. These were the people who really I thought was the pillars. Even Pranabda, with his discipline, with his way of dealing things, because we really needed the discipline that that was necessary. And it was very strange that this was a time when Nolinida was the pillar that is still there, because you know his way of talking, his way of, he was very close. I felt the way I felt, that very close to being a great yogi. And I have seen a little example I can give you, that there was a train full of sadhus that came from the north of India. They wanted to know and see somebody in the ashram, because the mother and Sri Aurobindo had left their body, and all these sadhus, I think 200 of them had come, but they just went up to the samadhi. But the two yogis, I suppose they were tantric yogis, tall, strong looking, very beautiful eyes. I was treating Nolinida at that time, and suddenly they came in front of the door, because Nolinida was sitting with his legs, and I was giving him a massage,
yeah,
in the foot. And Nolinida didn't talk much. I just went aside, and I saw Nolinida looking at them for quite a few minutes. They also looked. There was no talk or any exchange. Both of them went back, and I could hear them say, that Nalinda is a great yogi. They felt. So, you see, because we wear the ordinary clothes, they are ascetics, and if they can see something in Nalinda, it's something very great. So this was one good experience.
Thank you so much, Kala.
Thank you also. My English is not as good as I thought.
It was really, really wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you again. Namaste.